He's preparing already.
It's starting. Here we go. Buckle up, everybody. Oh, you know what I did? I did it wrong because I did a voiceover. There it is. Hello. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dad Podcast. Already getting dirty looks from Luna. I am Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. But here with us today, the very fine, the very lovely Luna. Luna is here, everybody, in studio.
Thank you.
In studio with Luna. What brings you here on this fine day, Luna? Is there a special occasion?
Spring break.
Oh, you
Good Friday.
So Good Friday? Are you a Catholic?
No.
Oh. Did you tell your employer that you were?
No.
Okay. Does everybody get this Friday off?
Only at Warner Brothers, and I said, why don't I? Disney doesn't have this day off,
so I took it off.
Yeah.
So you took a what do they call it, a PTO, paid personal
day? It was a vacation day.
All right, sweet. Well, we're glad to have you.
Absolutely.
Paco, how are you doing on this fine day?
I am great.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
It is Friday. We usually record, if you're listening to this as a podcast and not live, we usually record on a Thursday around noon. I could not do that because I'm very important now. I don't know if you heard, Luna, but I have a full-time job.
So I don't know.
Kind of a big deal. And
really?
Yeah, so I have meetings. Well, you and I can now bond. We can bond about the corporate meeting.
Stupid meeting.
Also, we both work in the entertainment world. Uh-huh. Excuse us for a second.
I'll be over here.
Am I right? It's like, come on. It's like corporate stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm not very good at this already.
No, I'm
backpedaling as soon as I got into it. So I had meetings. They like to have meetings, don't they? They like to have meetings
to talk
sometimes about future meetings.
Yes.
About getting together. It seems like you would think that if you could make a company so large that it becomes a corporation that employs hundreds, if not thousands of people, that what you would want them to be doing is working, not talking about the work that they will eventually be doing. That's what I feel like I sometimes involved. My favorite is when I'm involved in a meeting that I didn't need to be at. Like, this isn't even about me. I don't even understand why I got this Outlook invite.
I often feel that way just about conversations at home.
Just with your wife?
Like, what am I doing here? This isn't about me.
Well, while we're on that given subject, this is the thing I wanted to start off talking about. And I'm glad that we have you guys together as a couple. I believe that everybody represents one part of the relationship dynamic. And I'm hoping that one of you will represent either my side or the other side in this situation. I don't know why, my dear Natalie, whenever we get any kind of food situation, and I mean that to mean takeout, like we go to a restaurant and then we get a doggy bag and we bring it back home, she has to save everything. She saves everything like she grew up in a Depression-era village in Oklahoma. It wasn't even a city. It was just a village in Oklahoma in 1931, and all of she keeps cash under our IKEA mattress. We save ranch dressings from Round Table Pizza, Luna. Ranch dressings from Round Table. How important is the ranch dressing from Round Table? It can't be that good.
No.
And here's the thing. My wife eats at nice places. She likes food. She has good taste in food.
Right.
Why is she saving a little souffle cup? Is that what it's called? What's the thing I'm thinking of?
It's not even a sealed packet. It's
one of
those little plastic cups.
Yes! It's a fucking tablespoon of ranch dressing that she said from Round Table Pizza. It's from Round Table Pizza. Guess what? The 48 ounces of Hidden Valley Ranch that we got from the local grocer to supply ranch to our children's intravenous system.
Yes.
That will subside. If anything, it would be easier for me to try to pour that into the ranch bottle that we have, if not for the easy pour spout that it has. It has a spigot to fill said cups. In addition, her addiction to these small souffle cups. Yes,
maybe it's the cup she's after.
Well, she bought little tin cups. I don't like those. I don't like the idea of them. She buys these little tin cups, like what you would get at a restaurant.
Like if you're
ramekin. That's the word I'm thinking of, a ramekin.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, ramekin cup. That's what you would put ketchup in.
I thought that was a racial slur.
Oh, yeah. Well, that probably, too.
Right.
I'm sure it refers to
something.
What race would be cup-like? I wish we had pictures of the faces of your wife right now. We are not even 3 minutes into this.
No,
and she's already done things with her eyebrows that not even Roger Rabbit could pull off. That's amazing. Do either of you, when you get the takeout, do you feel this, like, do you have a junk? I know we all have a junk drawer that has a packet of soy sauce, like it's a commodity.
Right.
Everybody
right.
has that.
That
do you
one
guys?
Packet, yeah.
You guys always keep?
No,
like
not
about, like,
I just
from 2000.
Do me a favor, bring the mic a little closer.
We've cleared out all that stuff. I've thrown that stuff away pretty regularly.
You could sit back in the chair, but bring the mic closer. It's on a boom.
That's true, too.
Yeah. I want you to feel relaxed and comfortable. You said you like the chair.
Yeah, the cherry.
So you have the packet of soy sauce. What else do you have? Ketchup, I'm assuming. Some kind of McDonald's.
Covered pennies.
Hang on a second. As long as you're here and as long as we're talking about packets.
Yeah.
All right.
The pencil that's
we
like,
were at the Wetzel's Pretzels the other day.
Yeah.
You were there, so you're going to know the story. And she went, my God, they finally have good, real mustard. Right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, right there. It's the real mustard, the dark mustard. And I'm like,
Gouldens. It's called Gouldens.
Yes. Okay. So
you coasters know, would know what I'm
so
talking
I'm like,
about.
So you know, Luna, when you are here, you're a Kennedy. When you're not, you're a Flintstone. Just to be clear.
Excuse me?
When his impression of you when you are not here is more Flintstone-esque, but when you are here, it's more
like
Kennedy-esque.
Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. They have the. They have the mustard, but she doesn't care for that particular interpretation.
I don't know why.
I don't like that.
I didn't actually make that decision. It just sort of came out that way. And so I grabbed about five of them.
So this is the real mustard. Now, back me up because I was too distracted by the voice. What makes it real? Because it's dark?
When we first moved out here to California, I saw this yellow mustard called yellow mustard. It's like just horrible stuff. I was like, I've never heard of it, never seen it before. And I'm what is this thing they call mustard? I don't understand. That is not any mustard I've
They
ever
have
seen.
Yellow mustard in New York.
No, they don't.
Absolutely
no.
have yellow mustard. No. And I'm not talking to you.
So then, like, the few times that Adam did do cookouts, I was like, bring home the Gouldens. Do they even have that out here in California?
Yes,
and he's like, they do.
Okay.
But everywhere you go, like hot dogs on a stick, it's that yellow, horrible stuff. And then all of a sudden, online at the pretzel place.
And you
and
see.
They had packets of Gouldens.
Gouldens. But now, why?
Gouldens.
Gouldens. So some kind of Jewish mustard, I would imagine.
Brown, spicy mustard. It's good.
Made by Jewish people, not to apply
to Jewish people.
No.
I don't know. Listen, you can't tell me what I do with my mustard.
Or with your Jewish people.
Well, isn't it a great, though, this is what I also like about hanging out with you guys, is that it takes a special kind of person to get excited about mustard in a packet.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So I grab five packets and I stick them in my pocket and I go, well, maybe I should try some of this.
Here it comes.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, these aren't for you. You have to get your own.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm not having any of that.
Wait. Hold on.
Yes.
What is going on with you, Luna?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you just did a whole thing about how, oh, my God, they finally have it. I don't eat mustard on my pretzels.
Oh, my God, I would stab you. I would stab you in your throat right there in the mall food court.
Right there in the mall.
I would.
Right
I would
there
take
in front
you.
Of the, I want the you to, girl in the little
I want
hat.
You to, tonight, close your eyes. Close your eyes tonight when you go to sleep and go, I'm going to be safe because I am not married to Justin Warshaw.
I know, yes.
Because if you were, I would have stabbed you with a plastic spork,
with a spork
and let you bleed out in front of everybody. And when somebody from some kind of
girls making the pretzels would have been so horrified.
That's okay. It would have made her stronger to know that she needs to have more definitive opinions and then follow those
through.
Instead of half-ass hypocritically going, where's the good mustard? And they're going, well, I don't eat mustard on a pretzel. I'm not crazy.
That's another California thing, okay?
Yeah. So, 3 months from now, we'll be somewhere completely else, and she'll go, I wish I had that mustard. Why don't they have it here? I promise you. And then I'll produce one for my pocket.
For what, though? A hot dog?
Whatever.
A hot dog,
a hot dog. So, we have five packets of mustard
Who puts ketchup
in the refrigerator.
On a hot dog? Who?
I do.
Kids.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why?
Oh, well, he's a kid. He's just a big kid.
Who?
You.
You.
Oh, no. We're not going to come into Daddy's dojo.
No, it's California. It's like all of a sudden in California, you come out here and it's like, why is there ketchup on a hot dog? That's not right.
Okay, let's get to the
sorry.
Let's get to the crux.
California.
I know that usually we talk about. I know that for anybody new to this, Sometimes we talk about raising children. Sometimes we talk about real deep issues that are really plaguing society. Like, where do you apply ketchup and where do you not apply ketchup? Yeah. Because this is what it is to be married.
Oh, wait. We can't get people to, like, write in or anything, can we?
No, they can call in. The phones are up if they work. You can call 877-222-8323. Or they can write an email, and then I can forward it to you guys.
East Coasters listening. They'll know.
And
I know.
We also have people in the chat room.
Yeah, what's going on?
But here's the thing. This is what it is to get be married. You never have the argument anymore about, you know, what religion are we going to raise the kids, or why do you always vote Democrat when you clearly know that I'm a Republican? Like, nothing. I'm trying to define something that's big, but I can't even come up with an example because it's so, that is surreal. That is surreal in a married life. But to have an argument that lasts weeks on end about mustard, totally believable. Everybody has been there. Everybody's had some kind of fight. Just like I'm about to have the fight about no more ranch ramekins, plastic ramekins in my
fridge. I got to look up ramekins.
So here's the thing. Because.
Oh, and pergola. Look up pergola.
Why are we looking up words?
This is what you get. You invited me.
So. Ramekin, a small dish.
You said it was okay for me to be here. So.
Ramekin, a small dish for baking and serving an individual portion of food.
And really?
Then, yeah. I
but
see
it
what
must
you're
be
saying.
Tiny. Oh,
what is going on here?
Right there. What?
What? Let's. I wish I could roll back the tape. You do understand that both of you are sitting in the studio that I built based on what I do here, and yet you have the audacity, the gall, if you would, to go, oh,
unmitigated.
Look at that. He knew a word. Well, look at who's a big boy.
No.
Who's growing up?
I'm not shocked that you're
still
who's almost
ketchup
not
on
putting
your...
ketchup on their hot dog. Yeah. Look at you, big boy. You're a big
tater tots with that.
Ramekin.
It's not that I'm shocked you know a word. It's,
well, tell your mouth that when the voice comes out.
I didn't know the word. No, I'm shocked that I didn't know the word.
Yeah, but it's totally different what you showed him there. You said it's for a portion of food, and Justin is saying it's for, like, dressing?
Oh, God.
I don't get it.
It's okay.
Okay.
He's now I'm having a mustard argument with your wife.
Exactly.
This is really why you brought her here.
He's calling the little plastic thing that they would send in the takeout container a ramekin. He is
or at the table.
At the table, definitely.
The table,
but then
it's
upgrading
a little metal thing. Okay.
The description of that other thing that we don't have a name for. Okay.
I don't know how what he said was any different than what I said.
True.
Other than, again, the fact that maybe you think I'm an idiot.
No, because what you take home is a little plastic thing. But what you have at the restaurant, it's a little metal thing.
Hey, everybody, you know what this is right here that you're hearing? It's called the rabbit hole. And I just accidentally followed Luna down it.
It is Easter.
Buckle up. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about what pergola means. What does pergola mean? Where does it come from? The etymology. Everybody wants to know what your fake wood floor really is.
That's what I said.
Hang on a second.
He said I was wrong.
I was saying that a pergola is a thing that's overhead, like in a garden or in a garden. And she was saying it was a style for flooring.
Here's what it really is. Actually, I think he is right that it is a deck. It's not a gazebo, but it's a decorative wood fixture. A pergo is a type of floor.
Is a type of flooring.
Yeah, that's
plastic.
But
she was saying beyond that. I already had that one. She was saying beyond that, there's a pattern style of wood flooring that is called pergola.
Look it up. We'll get to that next. First, we got to figure out this mustard situation.
Okay, you work
that
out.
We got a lot of balls in the air here.
You can do it.
I know. Listen, I can handle it. I know what a ramekin is. You poor idiots don't have any clue how much I have to. Actually, I have to take care of you
in
this situation.
I thought it was a style of Japanese film.
Next time you might want to just keep those things yourself.
Oh, sorry.
Continue to be the person who knows all the words and not say things like Japanese film or ramekin. Anyway, mustard. Why is it that you have such strong opinions on ketchup on a hot dog? Like, here's the thing. If I were to tell you that I was a Scientologist, okay, I feel like you would have less of an issue with me telling you that I enjoy, not just do it for the sake of eating off of my child's plate because it's what they left over, but I thoroughly look forward to having a hot dog with nothing but ketchup. Not even a ketchup mustard combo to make a hamburger secret sauce. But I crave ketchup on a hot dog. If I were to say that and then say, oh, and I'm a Scientologist, you would go, why would you put ketchup on your hot dog?
Yeah.
Not why would you believe in a crazy book that a guy believed that he was a god himself?
Yeah.
And aliens came and populated the planet.
Well, I would say that you were, because you're a Scientologist, you do this wrong. Because you're a Scientologist,
it's a horse and a cart situation, is what you're saying.
That is why.
That is the only justification for my crazy condiments would be my religious beliefs.
There you go.
Okay. I like still in the rabbit hole. I like this idea. Now I'm not a Scientologist. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I'm a hoarder, but I need to have ketchup on my hot dog. Still same situation. I like ketchup on my hot dog because I'm a hoarder.
No.
Okay.
Just because you're a Californian, that's what it is.
Now I'm a Purple Heart decorated war veteran, but I like ketchup on my hot dog. You, where do you stand on that? Do you allow it?
Maybe.
Maybe. Why would you not allow it?
Because you probably had that taste, that like, before you got that Purple Heart.
Uh-huh.
It's not that because you got the Purple Heart, suddenly...
Suddenly I became a guy who loved ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried ketchup on a hot dog?
No.
Why not?
It's sacrilegious.
But it's not.
It is.
No.
It is.
No,
for a New Yorker, yes, it is.
For a New Yorker, there is... Okay.
Yes.
Where is the Church of New York, then? Where is it that you...
On the East Coast.
I understand, of course.
Brooklyn. Right here.
Brooklyn.
Where's your church in New York?
Yeah. See, that's Brooklyn. What I'm saying. That this idea that you have created a cult just because of a city that you've once lived in is insane to most people. And no one is ever telling... No one is going around going, stop putting mustard on your hot dog. You must only put ketchup. It's only you East Coast assholes who feel like you figured out all forms of food and come and judge us for our quinoa. Or as Natalie... as Natalie...
What is
quinoa? You don't know what quinoa is. Come on. You can't live here.
I tasted it.
She said it.
When she was drunk once in college.
Yeah, I was drunk.
You said it like you climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Like,
yes.
I've tasted it.
I've tasted it.
I've been there.
What's the face you make when you're doing Jack?
I could tell you tales of eating quinoa. I lost three of my friends eating quinoa. And two of my toes. you have Pergo?
Oh, no.
You're still looking?
No, I looked up pergola. Pergola is what I said, an overhead thing. The word I was trying to think of before, which is not, it's just going to make everybody mad, is, I forgot it.
Hoboken?
No.
Kabuchi? Are you trying to think of Japanese film?
Remodeling floor. Here we go. Hold on. I got it. I had it. I lost it. Now I'm getting it back. It's
all right.
It's very.
You continue to sort out your thoughts. I'll talk to your wife.
Parquet is the word.
That's butter.
That's butter. No, it's margarine.
It's a style.
It's a margarine. She says. Oh my gosh. I got to be honest. We've had many a conversation in this room, and I want to say 60% of the time I feel like I take your side a little bit. You're about to lose a friend.
Oh no.
You correct me when I say it's butter with it's margarine. I you're lucky I don't have a spork on me now. I would let you bleed out right here in this studio.
That would be messy.
No. There's carpet.
You have it scotch guarded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, you have kids.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the small storage of food. What is the smallest amount of portion? Because here's my issue with the ranch ramekin. My issue is that all a ranch ramekin does is I feel like an insurance adjuster. It increases the risk of spillage on my tile floor. There is no benefit. Nobody's ever gone, oh my, honey, thank God we have 2 tablespoons of ranch dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I was so upset. I thought I would have to put ketchup on my hot dog. Now.
You can put ranch.
I can put ranch and everything is okay.
Yes.
I could be a true hillbilly. So all it does is, and then it always has to sit in the front. Because if it does not sit in the front, it then gets put to the back.
And you never see it again.
Now it's in the rabbit hole of conversations with Luna. You're in a limbo that is only waiting for it to rot. And then you find out how long ranch dressing can actually exist before it biodegrades. And you try to compare it to a Twinkie. And you're making all these decisions you shouldn't be making at an adult level, is what I'm saying.
There are so many things I want to say.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, if you... it is ridiculous that you're getting it from some subpar pizza place. Is that where it was coming from?
Subpar pizza. It's a round table.
Well, I consider that subpar.
Okay,
but in any case.
All right. is there anything the Dooleys don't look down their nose on? Is there anything at all?
Reno's.
I feel like on your family crest would just be an extended, like, Roxanne, Steve Martin level nose drifted up to the skyward at a 45 degree angle.
On real pizza from New York.
Clearly. Yes. With mustard all over it.
Oh, gross, no.
Yes, that is, you're basically probably eating smart and final ranch dressing there. It's the lowest common denominator. Now, if you've been to
why does Smart and Final got to take a hit on this?
Because they're selling in volume. If you're buying, 4 gallons of ranch, so you can get it for a nickel a gallon.
Yeah.
It's probably not the best ranch, but if you'd gone to some upscale restaurant, Morton's or somebody, and they had this amazing ranch dressing that they made there, put it in a little thing and bring it home is probably better than the ranch dressing
you've
got anyway. I'm telling you my side of it. So I would say under that circumstance, if it is somehow special, or...
What is special about any kind of ranch?
I'm just saying, I'm imagining, I'm saying if such a thing existed...
Ranch is the ketchup of salad dressings. It is multi-purpose.
Okay. Well, as long as you don't put it on a hot dog.
Yeah. I haven't tried it. I'm gonna.
It's probably good. And
I think it goes with chicken.
Yes.
Probably right.
So that's one reason I might allow it. And then the other reason is if you had like a, you don't have ranch at home and you got something that you were dipping in the ranch at the like a hot wing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring it home and use that.
That's blue cheese.
But I understand it's mostly gonna make a mess, it's mostly gonna go bad and everything else. When I was in college, not quite the same thing. I had made a little gravy for a sad little Thanksgiving I had by myself. And I put the leftovers in the refrigerator unsealed. And a week went by, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, eventually about a month later. I was reaching in for something into the refrigerator, and I miscalculated, and I put my thumb went into the bowl that had the gravy in it.
It wasn't covered?
It wasn't covered.
Oh. And so it had like a crust growing on it. It had that film.
I cut my finger on the gravy.
That's some film.
It was way beyond.
That's disgusting.
I have actually.
I don't know.
Cut myself open on gravy.
Yeah, I don't know if that speaks to what gravy does, like the chemical properties of gravy, or the softness of your hands and the lack of callus.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, last thing that cut your finger besides a blade?
I can't even remember. Gravy.
Okay, just gravy?
Yeah, gravy.
Now we have nothing. Now it's a miss. That's the ninth wonder of the world. Now.
I don't know
the softness of Adam's hands.
It's been a long time. Probably a cat. A cat claw.
Cat claw.
See, that. So that to me is a mortal wound. So it's not like you would be. Now, if a cat swung at you and removed your hand entirely or skinned it completely, then we're back to soft hands. But I don't
see what you're saying.
And that's also part of my point with the whole saving of the food is that she will save little bits of fries and everything.
Yes.
Now, if my wife was the full Depression era person, where she would come in and then she would also eat that, where she would be obsessed with digesting it and ingesting it.
Yes.
But no, it is, we transport the food in some kind of styrofoam container because, God forbid, it rot in the dumpster at the restaurant when it can rot in a very slow and painful way in our refrigerator at home.
Yeah.
Why would you give something extra for the young...
We have plenty of those.
Misfortunate Martine who cleans tables and maybe wants a bite of a Monte Cristo that was left over by a Warsham offspring. And when it can come home, say, no, don't give that. Tell him, get a job, you asshole.
Well, he does have a job.
Well, my wife is rude.
Get another job.
Yes, my wife wants everyone working two jobs.
Yeah.
This isn't me talking. This is her.
I understand.
And you bring it home or after a meal. And this is what I love too. I had to start making lasagnas in a brownie tin. Like it's like you make. I've learned to make a single serving lasagna that is not in one of those dishes that you would get at a fancy Italian restaurant.
Okay,
not round table because we're not Dooley's. But because if I make a plate, like a full, like 9x12 casserole dish of lasagna, then you have it as leftovers. That's what you do. But when you're my wife, you can have a half a sheet of lasagna in there. And then she would be like, we should go out. Like, or we should, let's get pizza.
I hear
call
that.
Call us if you got leftover lasagna. God, yeah, maybe yummy.
Maybe my lasagna is shitty, though. Maybe that's why.
Well, listen, I was going to say, I was already looking down at your lasagna when you were making in the smaller container.
Yeah, how do you do that?
He's probably not really doing that right. Because he's not.
He's probably not doing it right.
He's not making it the project we make it.
How do you make lasagna wrong? The lasagna is an Italian person's shepherd pie.
Yes.
That's what it is. You put all the leftover crap in it, and you put some noodle layers in there, and boom, lasagna. There's no way to make a lasagna wrong.
No. Here's the thing, is that I make a sauce first, and that sauce in and of itself takes about an hour and a half. So it's an hour and a half put into making the sauce for the lasagna, which includes all the things you're talking about. But I don't picture that. That doesn't sound like you.
Yeah.
I think he's going to hit me.
I'm not going to hit you.
I can't tell what that look means.
What do you use?
This is Smarmy Food Talk for those of you just tuning in. Coming up in the next hour, the Dad Podcast.
Wait, how do you make, what sauce do you use in that little bitty lasagna?
Prego, the
good
one.
I was about to say ragu.
No, I'm not a fucking redneck.
Right, and I make the ragu.
You make the ragu? Yeah, you put it in a pot and you eat it up.
No.
Like chopping the
meat.
I wish
I could capture for the listener the smug fucking looks I'm getting from these people. I don't know what you think my level of intelligence is, that you honestly think that I think that making ragu. I've had dinner with you fuckers. I've bought. We both have described how your favorite Italian restaurant is also my wife's favorite Italian restaurant. So to say that I think, you must think that I think that at the back of Prosecco, there's a guy opening the gigantic plastic jugs from Costco of Prego and Ragu and then just putting half and half in it to make it Alfredo.
Oh, gross. Right. No way.
I've done it both ways.
I had
ways.
The Ragu last night. So good.
If I go... Luna's eating. That's a microphone. Be careful. It's nowhere near as tasty. No, I've done it both ways. I make the marinara from scratch, right?
Yes.
And here's what I have found. I can make it from scratch, or I could open the jar and dump it in, and I get the same level of disdain from my children.
Ah, well, aww. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. And that from your neighbor, by the way.
In the scene that we are describing, in the mental, the theater of the mind is, we're having dinner, and then Paco's hands to the window, just shaking his head.
Right,
looking at it.
We had a buddy. I want to circle back to kids
God,
in a second.
Hilarious.
But we had a buddy. We had had him over for this lasagna we make, which is this five-hour ordeal, and we put the love in and everything else. I cook like Marie Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond. And so he came over and ate it. He goes, I have to have you to my house sometime so I can make you lasagna. And so he then has
your wife's
his
brother?
House. Well, he's also from the New York area.
So all New Yorkers from honeymooners?
Like yeah, right. Well, he's very close to Edward Norton. I mean,
he
really is. Hey, Ralphie. So we went over to his house, and served the most inedible.
That was so sad.
It was so sad. It was... clearly, he had opened a jar. Oh, I have a recipe. Yeah, you had a recipe that was on the back of the box. And so he...
still a recipe, to be
well,
fair.
No, he can. And, but the top
did you,
layer...
Hold on. Before you get all snooty about his recipe that he found on the back of a box, did you Google yours? Or did you sit there in a fucking chemical... Like, six onions.
The lasagna that I make, the base of it is that sauce, which was from her mother. It's a family recipe.
Where did your mother get it?
From the Puerto Ricans, I guess. I don't know.
the famous Puerto Rican marinara?
No clue.
You know who makes good ragu is those islanders.
Exactly. I don't know. She's hilarious.
She got it from the back of a box. I'm willing to bet money.
I don't know.
Or a magazine. She probably got it from Reader's Digest.
I'm more than sure she was taught how to make it by her own mother. That's how it was done back then. You got to understand, that woman was old.
Oh, God, yeah.
So she would have been making that stuff since...
She was 15?
Yeah, since like the 20s. Anyway.
Yeah, she was having babies at 15. She had to feed them somehow.
So I was going to ask, I don't know either. Do your kids eat lasagna? Because mine don't.
To make it even more frustrating is they go back and forth.
Oh.
So one time... One time, like,
that's sad.
It depends on the level of
Sorry,
anger,
Justin.
The level of anger that I have. So if I make a meal and it's the first time I've made it, then they'll just look at it and go, nah, not having it. I'm like, yeah, man, it sucks to be you because that's what's for dinner. And then they got to go, then there's the fit, then there's the dead stuffed animal that sits in the chair like, oh, I'm not going to eat this. And it's so funny to me to raise these people because they've literally known me their entire lives.
Sure.
And I have not changed much. If anything, the only thing is that their assholedness has worn me down to a greater level of dictum that it's only gotten worse. So I don't know. My children must be just so dumb that they can't see the pattern forming. That things are just getting worse and worse for them. Because I sit there and I go, I don't know who you think I am. Or maybe they're just hoping for some kind of body snatcher situation and a new sweet father will come in and replace me. And they're just constantly rolling the dice. But they sit there and go, I don't like it. And I go, well, that's what's for dinner. So good luck. And they look at me.
So that's the first time.
Yeah.
And then
the second time I put it down there, usually what will sometimes happen is if they're distracted enough, they will take a bite. And then what I love is when they say this, this time it's good, is what they say. This time, you really did it. And then I can make it the exact same way a third time. And then they will not like it. They'll be like, nah, I don't like it. And then I go, no, you have to taste it. You taste it last time. And then they do the asshole, like touching the tip of the, God forbid, cheese and carbohydrates and marinara enter their very delicate Michelin star level palates of, like, let's be honest. Every child, rather than eating a fresh from scratch marinara, would much rather have a chicken McNugget that not 2 days prior, let's be honest, two months prior, was a pink Play-Doh in some factory across the country being squeezed out into the form of a nugget mold. Right. That's what they would much rather have than me with olive oil and a cup of Chardonnay and sauteing onions and garlic and then pouring crushed tomatoes and simmering all day.
Putting wine
in. Yeah, I just did that. I should describe my own marinara. Boom, yours is shit on. Guess who's a kid now, Luna? Enjoy ketchup on your hot dog.
Jessica online says that ketchup does not belong on hot dogs. And somebody else asked if you put ketchup in your lasagna, which is what I think our friend did.
Yes.
Oh, what? Really? Yes. No, you didn't.
What do you think ketchup is? What is ketchup made of, Doreen?
It's not real tomatoes or anything like that.
Where do they get the real?
It's fake. It's all to be all fake.
So it's okay. Stuff. All right, let's walk down the rabbit hole again. Here we go.
It's not what you would open up a can and have like.
They make it out of oranges then? They get oranges and then they chemically flavor them like tomatoes?
You really put ketchup in your lasagna?
It's tomato.
No, it isn't.
Yes.
It's not real.
What's not real? Ketchup's not. What do you? Okay, so
wait,
the only way you would enjoy ketchup,
you can't even open a can of Hunt's tomato sauce and use that.
What's the difference between Hunt's ketchup and Hunt's tomato sauce?
The preservatives that let it sit in the refrigerator for 5 months.
Uh huh.
Versus that you can't.
The can that lasts 10 years.
Did you open the can
or plus?
And you use it, and if you don't use it, it goes bad in a day or two. There's a difference.
No.
Horrible preservatives versus no horrible.
This is the Meanwhile, most fun she does I've ever eat had, ketchup.
Yeah, I know she doesn't
what?
Ever
on
eat ketchup.
What?
French fries.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, that of course.
French fries,
count.
Of course.
You're right. Crazy.
How you burger French fries? Yeah.
How long have you guys been married?
It's 20 something. I don't know.
How you are alive?
18 years.
I forgot.
How you are alive, Luna? I did not want this to be some kind of like misogynistic gang up on you, but I don't know how you're alive with your opinions about crazy. No, I'll be honest with you. I was teasing you about the ketchup in the lasagna. Yeah. I don't think here's the thing. If I put ketchup in a lasagna, probably would be more enjoyable to my fucked up kids' mouths.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not that different. It's tomatoes. It's all in there. If I put ketchup, if I didn't put ketchup,
probably,
I don't know.
The kids would probably eat it with the ketchup.
With the ketchup.
The kids would, right?
Yeah, because it has more sugar in it. I mean, that's the difference
between
the
two. It's salt
and
sugar,
they would
sugar.
Love that. You wouldn't do that, though, would you?
She would be happier hearing that you spanked your child than that you put
with a 9mm. She would rather I pistol whip my child across the face
4 year old
than force him to eat ketchup laden lasagna.
Yes.
Correct?
No.
You what would you rather?
You not hit them at all.
Okay, but they can have the ketchup lasagna.
Fine.
Now, when I came in and noticed that you were enjoying an adult beverage.
Yes.
You said it's my Friday,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to let you know that it's everybody's Friday.
No, this one's mine.
Oh, I see.
It's a good Friday.
I see. Because it's good Friday. Yeah.
Be careful.
I opened it to enjoy. I'm very near the bottom, and yes. My intention was to finish this, not in one gulp, but to finish this, this is the
now,
last
hold
of
on.
Bruce.
Before you start drinking this, because your wife is here,
yeah,
Luna.
Yeah.
Now you're back in the workplace, so
yes.
You are gone 8 hours a day.
Yes.
Every once in a while, your husband will come over here and imbibe in the booze.
I've heard.
And then you come home, and is he still intoxicated? And does he get a little
Jesus
handsy?
Christ, I haven't
what do you
noticed.
Mean, Jesus Christ!
No, because
I didn't ask what size his dick was. I just said, does he?
Dude,
drunk?
I'm like, is he still drunk 5 or 6 hours later?
That's
I don't
what
think
I'm saying.
So.
I'm not drunk. For 5 hours?
Listen, I only see the first 10 minutes of you taking a sip. How am I supposed to extrapolate, other than maybe the fact that it hits you so fast early that it also escapes your system that fast?
Yeah.
I am sober by the time my wife comes home.
Yes.
So you're saying I shouldn't because she's
no.
here?
Well, no, I don't know. I'm just saying. This,
I don't care.
There you go.
But I guess
you
if you
drinking,
came home.
So he felt.
If you came home and he was drunk, would it bother you?
No.
Would you, if he came home and he was drunk?
I knew he'd be hanging with you, though.
Aren't you glad I moved in? If you came home and he were drunk, would you be happy that he was drunk?
No.
Why?
No. I'd be very
surprised
if he was.
He seems like kind of a fun, easygoing drunk. Is he not?
He is pretty hilarious.
She'd start looking for what I might have ruined in the house.
Yeah.
I'm likely to ruin something sober, but if I'm drunk, I'm probably going to put a hammer into a wall or just do something.
Yeah, he just a spaz.
He's a spaz?
He'd be double spaz.
So is it like having the animals in the house by themselves? You come home hoping they didn't destroy a pillow?
He almost killed a dog with the back door. Didn't you read that?
Read it?
Little chihuahua?
I posted it online.
Oh, okay.
I was closing the back door very quickly.
And he wasn't even drunk. Could you imagine if he was drunk, he would have killed that little dog.
I did not
Would
realize.
That be so bad? It's not like you don't have a couple spares.
He could do whatever he wants to the big one, not the little one.
There's two little ones. You already have a spare of the little ones. So what difference does it mean if he kills another one? He could paint the other one white or whatever the other color the other one needs to be. You've got one that's primer to be any color you want.
True. Okay.
And then you've got another one that's just a little harder to fake, fake it. There's less yapping for you to do. Because what do? You come home, the dogs come in, ay, 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 and then you tell them to shut up, right?
Yes.
So this is what you love? You want this in your life?
No, I tell them to go back inside, and they meet me inside.
They bark at the back gate, and then you go, inside, meet me inside, and they run into the house, and then they act like maniacs.
And this you love this maniacs
the
when
little
you come
two
home.
Maniacs, yeah.
No, do you love the mania?
Listen, she wants a parade when she wants. She wants an explosion of happiness, which she does not get from her children.
I see.
Yes.
Did you ever?
She rarely gets it from me.
No.
You never got the mom's home? Like they go bananas?
Don't say that. You make me sad.
Why?
Because I don't ever remember hearing that, ever.
She's going to want to have another kid now.
No.
Are your ovaries on fire?
No.
But here's the thing. In my family,
smoldering.
You might want to take off your headphones, Luna, is that when Natalie, the house is dead quiet. The children never come to me for anything. Now, I know that
are you going to just rub it in now?
The impression of, yes, a little bit. The impression, because it's funny, the dichotomy of it to me, that my children, by the way, that breathing that you're hearing is Paco ingesting some gentleman. I think he's going to get a little handsy when you guys get out of here. Are there no kids across the street?
There's a kid across the street.
There's a kid across the street.
Yes.
Do you guys want to use the back house then?
No.
And get a little fresh with each other?
No.
You guys
step in there alone for a few minutes.
Have you guys boned in the Prius yet?
Ew, no.
Why?
No.
Why is that a do?
We never
You want to bone in your car?
We never boned in the Saturn. We had that 14 years.
Doreen, you got to have some car sex.
No, that's when you're a teenager.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You can't.
Listen,
you can't do the contortions.
I'll tell you what.
Look at him.
You don't need to contort. Here's where it goes. I'm going to break it down for you, Doreen. Now, here's the thing. I suggest that you drive someplace because it's just easier for your comfort. Because what happens is that if he sits in the driver's seat, much like he's leaning back now trying to recover from two sips of Gentleman Jack.
I know, two little baby sips.
Is that you then, you? Here's the thing. A lot of people think back seat. Way to go. Guy on top. No, that's no bueno. He leans back, all right? If you're into the kinky thing, he keeps a seatbelt on, you know, for safety protection. Then you climb over the top, and if he kind of pulls, if he does the slide back of the chair, there'll be a little bit of you're sitting on his lap, facing towards the rear of the car, like facing him. Okay? But see, I think this is hard because depending on the whole like
the steering wheel.
Yeah, I've never banged in a Prius, but I've banged in a Geo Metro, and that seems like a higher level of difficulty. So,
yes,
I would suggest it, but we did it in the passenger seat. She was in the passenger seat, and that was when I was a young man, a teenager, like you described earlier. Now, here's what I'm just saying. In my age, I have learned that the much easier way to do it is you on top, right? Because then he can recline. You do whatever you want to do. You're in control. Different from the bedroom, you now have handles. You know what I mean? You can gain leverage and traction for whatever it is that you're doing. So I'm just saying, maybe you bang in a Prius.
Way too much experience on this subject.
What do you mean way too much? I've lived a full life. I can't bang around in a car or two. I probably had sex in your car. You didn't even know it.
Oh, dear God.
We're never leaving town again.
Or at least go on a road trip. Just don't leave the cars here. It's too tempting. Prius, got to check that off my bucket list. Thankfully, you guys got two of them, so I get both years.
I can't finish that.
Why not?
It's too much.
What do you mean it's too much?
It's another ounce.
Give it 5 minutes, and what you just ingested will kick in, and you could polish it off, right, and then Butcher Drew can make me buy you another bottle.
Is Butcher Drew online?
Yeah, he's listening. What was I going to say? I think we did the food thing.
Yeah.
We did all that, so I think we're good there.
Car sex?
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you got to try it. Later on today, he's all hopped up on the gentleman check, which is going to make him a little less gentlemanly, which is right up your alley if you're picking up what I'm putting down. He's going to get a little fresh, a little handsy.
We're going to Costco.
Oh, shit. It is on
one of those aisles that there aren't so many people
gross.
In.
Oh, that's a good point. Somebody in the chat room says Prius sex is quiet sex. You'll never hear it coming. That's a very solid joke. That is very solid joke from McKay Hinckley. McKay deserves full credit for that. That is a solid structure joke.
Gold star.
Because who hasn't been plowed by a Prius in a parking lot? You know what I mean? You don't hear them coming up behind you is all I'm
we
saying.
We will take both Priuses and we'll do it twice.
I feel like it's coming. There was another thing that came up, parenting, and I wish I would have written it down.
Oh, Justin, yeah. You're supposed I'm so to make notes, you know.
I did make notes. It's probably on my phone. But no, I'm so hung up on A, car sex, and B, the...
Any advice on cart sex? We are going to Costco. It's a little roomier.
Oh, those carts are pretty roomy.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. At Costco, yeah, I feel like if I'm going to have sex in a cart, I would use it as a sex swing. Okay.
That's a sex swing.
It's a sex swing.
Yeah, because here's the thing: you got the smart wheels in the front, so you've got not just lateral movement, but you got longitudinal
as well. Yeah.
So you're probably going to want to look around for maybe some kind of dog bed situation at Costco, something that's soft and billowy. So if they don't have that, if you're into I don't know if you've ever done it in a cold place outdoors, but if you haven't. Get stock up on frozen vegetables. You're going to fill up the cart with frozen vegetables. That's going to give you a pillow. It's going to lower your body temp. And then you're going to kick your legs off the front. Okay. And then
you've done this before, apparently.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
with experience.
And then Paco, you're probably going to need to find a couple of jars of mayonnaise to somehow stand on.
I'm going
to
fill a couple jars of mayonnaise if you don't
you're going to stand on them, and then you're going to, then you could just, wiggle around the front of the carts. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to give you the kind of lift you might need. Now, if you were 6'2", you would be right at optimal height.
Yes, what you're not accounting for is my 16 inch.
Oh, that's a good point. This is a good point. This is going to save you.
Wingspan.
The facial expressions that she puts out are absolutely hilarious. That was the other thing. It's actually marriage related, and it's actually right here in an article. It just hit me what the other thing.
And I have a little parenting thing, but it can wait.
Hit me now. Let's do it now.
Oh, well, it's just I saw an ad for it at the AMC, of all places, at the movie theater. You know how the TVs there now that run a little.
Yeah.
It's a book called The Future of Men. Masculinity in the 21st century, and it's a discussion of how man's man is fading away, and women are becoming more emotional and so on and so forth. I didn't read it,
obviously. Ironic that you said emotional, so on and so forth, like you're uncomfortable with it.
Yes. Jack Myers has his finger on the pulse of the whatever. After being told all their lives to be a man and man up, men are now rejecting the macho stereotype and instead developing empathy, getting in touch with their emotions, and becoming more sensitive in their relationships. Women are gaining ground in business, culture, education, relationships, and politics as traditional male and female roles disappear.
How come whenever this is defined, right,
yeah,
it's a lose-lose, in my opinion?
Yeah.
Why?
Because men become more pansy-ish in the way. That's really, it's a polite way of saying all guys are turning into colossal pusses. Meanwhile, because he's saying they're becoming more empathetic and in touch with their emotions and sensitive to things. We all know sensitive is a magical word in the parenting world. That's what you say when your kid throws fits a lot. You know what I mean? Oh, he's sensitive. Whenever you hear that's, it's the same thing as like when you're trying to set your friend up with somebody and you go, oh, she's got a great personality. That's 25 pounds above what is her BMI index. You know what I'm saying? But and then women have to be, you know, more successful. I don't like that because here's why. I think that, yes, should women be allowed to work? That's not how I wanted to structure that sentence, but I'm very happy with it. I'm going to stick with it. No, I think, yes, if you're a lady who works. There's a woman who listens to the show that I actually met on the road while doing stand-up. And to me, she's always kind of like the epitome of this. Her name is Tiffany from Indy. Hi, Tiffany, if you're still listening. It'd be funny if she wasn't. She works full time and so does her husband. And she talked to me. She's like, you know, I don't know if she has the guilt. I don't remember that part, but there's a part of her that goes, I don't want to be a stay at home mom. That's not what I want to do. And what I think is that that's fine. But at the same time, let's say somebody who is a stay at home mom, I also don't feel like it's fair for society to look at her as if she gave up. You know what I mean? Or like, this is all you do.
Right.
Or patronizingly, you know, overcompensate by calling her a hero to her face 48 times. Like, I just feel like, why don't you just do your thing? Why don't you, you know what I mean? If, like Paco as an example, or even me, I'm employed now, so I'm out of the loop. No, I'm kidding. No. You and I have spent the majority of our fatherly years being homemakers. Mm-hmm. That's what we've done.
Yes.
And because, you know, we're pioneers in our field. We've had to deal with a lot of judgment, a lot of, you know, moms looking at us like, oh, are these children safe? You know, that kind of thing. Probably more me than you.
Self-doubt. Well, yeah. Certainly and appropriately with you.
But no, it's like there's a lot of, and then it's weird because you can't, it's harder to make friends when you're married with other women when you're the only dude walking around. I told you could kill it. He just finished his Gentleman Jack.
No, I got one more drop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Take your medicine. And
wow.
So that's all. I don't like this idea of where it's like this growing trend. Like, I don't know any guys from the 50s, but I venture a guess that they had an ability to relate to women. Now, there are men who are dead inside and don't understand how to emote to their children or emote to their wives. But to say that they are out, they lack emotion or they lack sensitivity, I think is an unfair representation of them. I think what really is happening when they say those things about sensitivity, it's not that guys are more emotionally aware.
Yeah.
I think it's that guys are no longer expected to do the guy things, but then who the fuck is going to step up and do it?
But that's what he's talking about to a certain extent, is that...
But he does. Here's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
He
paints it as in like, guys, we're moving forward. Society is getting better. And I don't disagree to say that society isn't getting better. I do think to a certain extent it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's helping. I don't think it's helping that we're like, no, everybody, listen, it's okay that nobody has any skill sets that they could bring to the table when you marry someone. You know what I mean? Like, if
But that sounds like you're devaluing being a homemaker.
No, that's a skill set. That's what I'm saying.
That's the skill set these men will bring.
Right, okay, fair to say. But then what it is that the idea is that women are learning to be in the workplace.
Yes.
But it's not like they're the guys who are, they're the ones. It's like what I dealt with my wife. She didn't mow the lawn. She doesn't change the oil in the car.
Yeah.
She'll take out the trash every once in a while, but I know she's fucking judging me when she's doing it.
Right.
Because she feels like it's my gig. That's what I should be doing.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
I don't think you heard
to start anything with you. What?
To start anything?
I don't know.
You. I like that you read an article and then go, I don't mean to start anything with you.
I wasn't trying to fight with you. I wasn't even done with what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. You went off.
You were saying?
Well, now it's beside the point. It says men won't be the dominant sex in the future, comma.
But like they ever were.
But they won't be subservient.
There's
either.
The thing. There was a time about 400 years ago that men were in charge, and then some bullshit started happening, probably the beginning of us all getting pussified, and then we all lost control. And I don't even think King Arthur himself was ever really in charge. I mean, I really think Carolla has a thing that he says, vagina has built everything you see around you.
Uh-huh.
That 90%, 98% of what all mankind has ever done,
yes,
whether they've invented something or fought to improve something, chances are it was to impress a chick. That's really right. What it was all for.
Or like the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
It might not be that there was a woman who had the need for a bridge, but you could cross the bridge and find a woman.
Exactly. It would get you there.
It would get you
or
to a woman.
On a first date, you could take her to this picturesque view,
yes,
and say, one day that will be the most photographed thing in the world. And
you're
referring
to the gate, not yes, your junk.
No, okay. I don't know. Listen, well, I don't know what the guy. Maybe the guy who built the Golden Gate Bridge is a wild misogynist. Maybe
it was
he
Ron
is
Jeremy.
Yeah, he's the situation, yeah, but in whenever the builder, the you know, he's
yes,
that guy
I understand
who built a bridge just so he could get laid.
Is that on?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I turned it down. Jeez, okay. I was afraid because your wife was freezing over there. I felt like
I am a little cold, but it's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
Who's in charge now? Fucking dictate the thermostat, bitch. Here's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, do.
We don't have a ton of time for this, but it's probably for the better because I think I may have stretched this out a lot. But since I've gotten this job, my my love life, as much as I talk about, you know, boning and Priuses, it's taken a little bit of a dip. I'll
yeah,
be honest.
Yeah.
And it's not, I really don't buy, Paco's theory is that it's just the years. Not that I lost interest in my wife, but it's just over the years, it's not the same. And I don't buy that. So what I did was I did a little Googling, and yeah, I found a way to keep your marriage fresh. Mm-hmm. And so this lovely person from the Huffington Post, which is an incredible source for information, has suggested, let's see, 5 ways that you can keep your marriage fresh. Now, I would argue, as I go through this list, that yes, I don't think any of these would work.
Does any of them include saran wrap?
No, but isn't I want to read your list.
Isn't that something that keeps stuff fresh?
Yes, that was a solid wow, joke. Wow. I mean,
damn, right over his head.
No, you don't get to play the over the head card with the saran wrap and keeping fresh joke.
Oh my God.
You all right, your Tupperware.
You two and your vaudevillian duo.
Oh, I love it.
Let's bring your act to California and out of this Catskills, okay?
Been?
I've been fucking here. Anyway.
No, you working now.
Number one is move.
What?
Who the fuck
what?
Is going Wait. To move? To get laid. Is there anything in this world that is more stressful, more exhausting, that would create more of a wedge between you and your loved one than moving?
Like packing your bags and moving?
Yeah. Like you're going to like, it would be like, get. So they say,
wait,
a new
what?
Space or neighborhood can really shake things up and invigorate your lives together. Yeah, because God forbid we continue to to keep this ball, the snowball rolling of this mortgage we've been paying into for 15 years. Let's hit a fucking reset button.
Yeah.
Let's do it all over again.
Start
That's
over.
Ridiculous. Okay, go on. Next one.
Number two, go on separate vacations. Now, it says here.
I like that one.
And hold on. Now, let's go down the rabbit hole again, Luna. If you went on a separate vacation,
yeah,
are you more likely to crush the Chihuahua when you come home and see the dear Paco?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if I crushed a Chihuahua while on vacation. Maybe. I
With
don't
your
know.
Friend? Or while on vacation? You're going to cheat on your husband while on vacation?
That's what I thought you were going to ask me.
No, I was asking if the vacation, having your time away, would it make the heart grow fonder? And that when you returned, you would be like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. I can
no.
answer that.
No.
Okay. Well, here's what it says. Travel with a friend and take a break from each other. If you've been married for several years, this should be a welcome suggestion rather than a threatening one. Now, What I say to that is that what you really want to do, especially being a dude, we'll add chicks in there. I don't know, but you could tell me, Luna. I think that maybe there is a slight difference biologically in the sex drive and libido between men and women. But I'm just saying, if I'm a sexually repressed guy and now I'm going with my friend on a cruise ship, that's a solid plan. That's a solid plan to reinvigorate, is to go on any kind of vacation. I think you go to a water destination where usually there are people wearing less clothes.
That's really
that's not a good idea,
tempting.
Right? Exactly.
That's just terrible.
And what's really
going to
get and I think it doesn't work out for the guy either way, because what's really going to get you in the mood, Luna, is if you're drinking pina coladas poolside on some carnival cruise somewhere while there's nothing but 28-year-old frat guys running around with their washboard abs and their 24-year-old primed bodies, and then you're going to come home to the dad bod you got rocking and go, oh man, let's do this now. Because that's the difference. I think a lot of guys look at a woman.
Call the travel agent again.
This I love, too. Get a new look. We humans are visual creatures. When someone changes their look drastically, it startles the sense of their loved ones who have grown accustomed to seeing them in a certain way.
Call the plastic surgeon.
I just don't think that a look is really the issue. That's my problem with that. Maybe my wife has looked at me. We've talked about it before. I'm sure my wife has looked at me and said, oh, God. But I have never. I have never looked at her and went, oh, God, that same. Oh, God, I wish her eyes were just fucking hazel. Oh, my God. Just give me a blue room. Decide a color. Not all of them. Pick one, you fuckers.
Her eye color changes?
No, it's hazel. But I'm saying hazel is a combination of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, that went over your head.
It did. I think they're talking like a boob job or.
No.
Can I see?
It says a makeover might be the order of the day. It's still the same you, but because you look different, your partner may feel like he or she is someone else. So I don't think they're talking about like full-blown plastic surgery.
Yeah. She changes her look, and then I feel like I'm somebody else.
Why are you standing now?
I got up to take that picture, but it feels good.
Yeah. Feels good to be leering over the top of us.
All right, I'll sit
listen,
down.
No, you're fine. Stand if it makes you feel good. This is one I love. Have a quarterly update. Get a friend or an in-law to watch the kids and spend a night in a hotel together. Because you know what's great when you are needing to spice things up is to only have sex quarterly.
Is that like now, every hang on a 4 second. Months or something?
3 months.
Is this about getting laid or is it just about like renewing closeness with one another?
Good point. How to keep your marriage fresh is the headline.
Okay.
Love and lust are very different, especially when it comes to a marriage. Keeping love alive is relatively easy, but maintaining passion for one another after years of marriage is damn near impossible.
That's a terrible headline.
Yeah. So I would assume that they're talking about in the bedroom.
Yeah, I think you're right. In which case, these are nonsense.
Yeah.
Move? It's like, what?
Go pack 50 boxes.
Yes.
Go to U-Haul.
That'll be in a mood, all right?
That's the only thing. Like, and here's all I can imagine if I'm the guy.
I can't find a butter dish.
Oh, you're making me so hot. Knock it off with your butter dish talk. No, imagine if I'm the guy who make, like, imagine I'm so stupid. And I am stupid. But I'm saying, imagine I'm so stupid that I listen to this list and I go, all right, step one, move. Okay? So now I'm packing up a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house to move to a different house with 2 children. My wife has no idea why I'm doing it.
Right.
The entire time I'm getting fresh and handsy, trying to be flirty. She's fucking annoyed from head to toe. How, if I'm being realistic to who I am, how I'm not at some point resisting the urge to be angry for all the shit she's compiled that we never look at or need. And how that's supposed to get her in the mood when I'm yelling at her going, who the fuck needs 2 snowmen? Okay? So now that doesn't work. So now I've got a new mortgage, probably with a higher property tax level because the taxes got reassessed.
And the stress of trying to sell the first house.
Exactly. Now
and
I'm going to go.
Putting the boys in new schools.
If I just do these. Now I'm going on a vacation. Now to rehabilitate my marriage, I'm leaving my wife in the new house in the new neighborhood that I've just put us in so that I can hopefully get my dick wet a little bit.
Go on separate vacations in order to come back and get excited that you're seeing each other?
Yes.
No, you're absolutely right. She will have shagged somebody.
Right.
No, that's not.
I don't know why
not.
You're British. That is not scotch. That is Tennessee whiskey. So you can say fuck.
What are you drinking, Justin?
I'm drinking Larceny bourbon with some Canada Dry ginger ale.
What is that?
Ginger ale or the bourbon?
Is that like
it's called a whiskey ginger?
Okay.
Now I've gone on a vacation, or let's say I sent her on a vacation. Okay. Next step is get a new look. So now she comes back.
While she's away.
She's away. No, I can't do it.
Plastic surgery.
No, because I like that. But here's the thing. I'm thinking that while she's gone, I'm just anticipating all the crazy lovemaking we're going to do in our neighbor's Prius, right?
She keeps going to plastic surgery. Yes. I think they're talking about comb your hair, part your hair on the other side.
Well, to be fair to her, her love does not have any hair.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean? Right. Other than taking off your goatee or changing your frames.
Yeah, I think the message is Adam, get some plastic surgery. I mean, Paco, get some plastic surgery. My takeaway.
I don't think that's what she means. Yeah. You may be overthinking a little bit, but you're kind of drunk.
I'm going to get a boob job.
That would be awesome. I would pay for it. So now I'm all excited to come home, and there's this awkward tension, probably because, as he says,
doesn't recognize
as Austin
you.
Powers over here says, she shagged somebody. then now I'm like, okay, step three, get a new look. So now she's moved. She's been sent on vacation, or I have left her, depending on how I interpret step two. The next step is now I'm going to Forever 21 and try, or Old Navy, and trying to find a new outfit. I'm dressing like the broken members of One Direction or some kind of a Jonas Brother, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or trying to wear collared shirts like John Stamos, but I'm just fat, and so all of the buttons look like they're in pain while I'm trying to look sexy. So then that doesn't work. And so now, depending on how this all times out, I have to wait until the next quarterly break. So I'm mailing. Now, listen, the quarterly update is a big issue for me because Daddy makes a lot of his income without any withheld. I don't get a lot of W-2s. Mm. So I pay quarterly taxes. So when I shell out, you know what gets me really in the mood and really horny? When I pay about $3,000, just have that slide out of my my checking account.
Sure.
Wow.
And really what gets her going, too, is a lack of balance. If there's one thing we know stereotypically about women is that they love broke dudes. So what's going on over there?
Ew.
He just drew on the microphone like it was an areola. I don't know what's going on.
It suddenly felt like it was wet.
That's just you, Big Daddy.
Sorry.
Buckle up, Luna. You may not even make it across the street. You may not make it across the street. So now we've done all that. Here comes number five. Go to a strip club.
What?
Go to a strip club together or stag. Going to strip club.
Wait, I thought you already did five.
No, this was the last one.
This is all starting to make sense.
You go to the strip club. This is what I love about this person's advice. Is the closest you could get, and then they're saying closest you could get, and then adding on top of that the quotes, to cheating. Without any real ramifications, which is another version of that small cup. Gentlemen's clubs always appreciate it when guys bring their wives and female strippers welcome the ladies. The reverse is also the reverse is not also true.
I don't think so.
If Paco and I go to a Thunder from Down Under, it's not going to be fun for us to have our faces playfully humped by some 24-year-old who's trying to get his nursing degree.
Yeah, and she's not going to get all turned on by
right,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what you want to see, right? You want to see some Patrick Swayze lookalike face humping your husband and go, man, I can't wait to make that face, my bitch.
I love that you went to Patrick Swayze and not anyone from
not anybody like Channing,
right? From the Dirty Mike. What was that movie?
Oh my God, Magic Mike.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I think it's because I never saw the Magic Mike movies because I'm straight.
you have a wife.
Yeah,
who would have loved to have seen it. She might have liked if you brought her to see it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's number six.
There's something that's very important in the order of those steps.
Okay.
Oh God, he's slurring.
Don't take your wife to.
What did you say? He's snorting.
Slurring.
Slurring.
Oh.
That is my speech impediment from my Bell's palsy.
Yeah, you haven't had that for a month.
Whose side are you on, you prick? Yeah. All right. don't take your wife step five before you've done step four, which is change your look.
Yeah.
Because when you walk, if you do them in the reverse order, when you walk in, they're going to go, Norm, because they're going to recognize
oh,
you.
Oh, that's a good
so
point.
So change what you look like right. before you take your wife to the strip club.
Do a hair
so
job.
So they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Get now a you gotta Brazilian blowout. You got to go back into the champagne room if you want a hair job. But you have something done.
You've never given your husband a hair job?
I don't know if I want to know what that is.
Yeah, it is.
Well, no, your hair is all kinky.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? What are you talking about?
You drape your hair over the Prius, if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I'm very confused.
All right. That was all I wanted to do. Let's do a little moment of the week. Yes, yes?
Sure. Yes,
all right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, Paco, hit us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to have her go first.
I'm sorry.
I didn't.
Hold on. No, let's okay. do that again.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, Luna, why don't you go ahead and go first?
I'm going to give it a Paco. Because he wanted it.
You made them. You love them.
No, we don't have time. Come on.
All right.
What the heck?
Excuse me. Mine is like a little continuation.
Oh, really?
Of a previous, sort of a previous one. It's something you've touched on more than once.
Mm-hmm.
In
He's
regards to being
you?
The yeah, more than once.
You don't know what we're doing here.
It was the
most of the time he's drunk. Why do you think he drinks so much?
Oh God!
I have to tell you that for me, I'm gonna either burp or vomit. Hang on a second.
Please burp.
Yes. Oh no. I guess I'm gonna have to figure one.
No,
out.
No, it's okay. It's safe. All right. So listen. Sorry. It's actually all just hitting me now. I'm completely unraveling. I would look out in my backyard. To me, it looked awesome because I turned off my sprinkler like 2 months ago. Actually, a guy did it, but in any I don't know how to turn off my sprinkler, but he did
it. Royal weed.
Yeah, and it's just been doing its own thing for a while. And at first, it was like a desert out there for a very long time. And we shut off the water and it started to grow like crazy. We got a little bit of the rains recently.
I live here too.
Yeah. I'm saying for those listening at home, and it became quite high. I mean, you could lose a chihuahua out there. You could. It was getting high, but to me, it just looked like a field. It didn't look like a yard. It looked like a field. I loved it, and it looked lush and fun. But I was getting the sense that my wife did not share that same opinion, and I asked her, and she said, "No, it's horrible. It's nasty." And then I talked to Diego, and he said, "It's terrible." But that push mower.
So you told her that you'll mow when she does.
Yeah, right. That bush mower.
Better than the joke was.
No good.
Your wife's.
No, the push mower is useless because the these weeds and grass are 6-8 inches high.
You can't trim a bush with a push mower.
No, you can't. So I had to borrow from our other neighbor, Ed.
I borrowed his lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
Which I used to do before you moved in. I didn't dare ask you for anything.
Why?
More. Well, I've borrowed a bunch of stuff from you, and I knew how to use his.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know how to use yours.
Yeah, but mine's hard. It's electric.
Yeah, you see? It's a challenge. Anyway.
I'm a hippie.
And so Diego and I spent, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
It must have been yesterday. Several hours in the backyard, even with a power mower, getting it straightened out and cleaned out, and it was great fun to do this
you know, manly talk about thing. Manly thing yeah. with my son.
Did you get emotional while you did?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. He wouldn't touch the mower. He was afraid of the mower. And I have a rule, which is probably the opposite of the rule that you would have,
mm-hmm.
which is that if you're afraid of a thing, like a power tool, don't touch it.
You're correct. That is the opposite.
Right.
Well, here's I know it's moment of the week, so I don't want to turn this no, into an okay. argument, but it's not... It's not like it's not for the sake of just inducing fear in my child. It's really that here's the way I tell my wife all the time. I go, would you want to be married to a guy who is afraid of a lawnmower? Like, is that what you would want?
Well, you should ask her.
Would you want to be married to a guy who's afraid of a lawnmower?
I am.
And
it's not
do
good.
Do you wish that? Listen, I think we all know you're not saying your marriage isn't good, but what you're saying is you wish he wasn't afraid of a lawnmower, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and the marriage is no good. By the way.
Another podcast.
So mean.
Another one, please. It was just that. It was getting dirty with him and hands dirty. And the wheels, I didn't talk about this before, the wheels of the actual lawnmower itself became caked first in dog shit.
Oh, God.
Because you know how that...
Our neighbor does not listen to the show. If you knew how protective he was of his stuff.
I know.
Did not clean up the poop before you... Oh.
How are we going to clean... It's all buried. It's Look, there was a canopy. First, there's a canopy level.
It's like the Amazon.
Yeah, it's like the Amazon. And then below that, and then at the bottom, there was the soil was being fertilized by 2.5 months of dog shit. So... Yeah,
three dogs. One of them large.
Yeah, no. I mean, these poops are like the size of the microphone. Some of them, and you know how the Eskimos have like they're supposed to have like 250 words for snow.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we had that kind of deal going on with the poop in the backyard. There were that many sort of variations and states of being, and so I saw the evidence.
So you could see them.
No.
Well, see how that was well timed. That was
probably
me getting a text message,
sending him a message. eventually, yes, you could see them once they were exposed. It's Ed coming over to kill me.
Like I'm listening.
Right, and then because I didn't stop to clean it every time I went through poop, or we'd never have finished the grass. It was like tar and feathering the wheels.
Ew.
And so we then spent a very bonding couple of minutes cleaning the wheels off. Anyway, so we had a good time together, and that was it. I enjoyed it. There's no punchline here. It was just another level of it. And here's the thing.
But I like how it trailed off.
Now that it's all completely done and it's all short,
yep.
She loves it.
Uh-huh.
I hate it.
Why?
It looks horrible.
It's clean.
It was no. It was tidy. Lush. It was lush and beautiful.
God forbid.
And,
I know.
But I think aside from
full yard. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's lush and full with large, like, elephant-eared tropical plants.
No.
Fucking dandelions and gigantic weeds and dog shit.
Yes. That's what it reminded me of.
It's like, that is lush for northern Arkansas.
Yes.
Okay, that's Thank not you. Lush.
Right. It reminded me of the abandoned
lot. Why
don't
you Instagram a photo of that?
The abandoned lot across the street from my house in the 70s.
Oh.
It reminded me of my childhood.
Bullshit. I call bullshit. I call bullshit. Yeah. I call bullshit.
No, there's no bullshit.
First of all, you didn't grow up on a junkyard or something with an abandoned lot across the street.
Well, no, there was a big field across the street from where I lived.
All right.
It reminded me of that. I will say, though, on the strike against it was that I'm pretty sure we destroyed a cure for cancer when we cleaned out that yard. Because I think there was some very interesting. He saw a bug, he said a roly-poly bug. That was the size of his thumb. I think there was a heretofore undiscovered insect species in that backyard.
So let's just back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
What's more likely? The guys that have never worked in a yard before until last month, seeing just a large roly-poly, or that you have found a new species of bug in your backyard in Burbank, California.
Well, I'm just saying. It was its own ecosystem back there.
We'll have to agree to disagree, maybe.
I think so. Anyway, that's my moment of the week.
Mine is probably equally good in its cherishedness, mm-hmm. but not in its tone.
Okay.
My moment of the week, we talked about last time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Sometimes I forget what I tell people. About the time where Jacob or Jack described he wanted to play Call of Duty in front of another mom.
Yes.
So we recently have discovered that we can add a third person in Call of Duty. And so I have the past, it's spring break here, so after I come home from work, I'll do my usual things.
Yeah.
And then the boys and I will play some Call of Duty together. And it has been fun and not fun at the same time because I have been so busy working and they have been so busy playing that they are so good.
Really?
Like,
I love it.
Not,
now you know what now, it was like to be me.
Now it's like, well, here's the thing. What I still have on them is that they're dumb and young.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like if they were teenagers, I would be in huge trouble because I don't know if I could catch up. But I'm still like, there's a part of me that's like, there's a guy who has a great joke, a comic, and I can't pull his name. He's an Asian from Texas, and I'm sorry that I can't pull his name. But anyway, he has this joke where he talks about how he, like, you know, goes, I like my kids to, you know, learn and all that, but you don't want them to be too smart. Like, if they become smarter than you, how are you going to raise them? Like, so I go, hey, put that book down. Quit reading so much. Like, that kind of thing. So I have a little bit of that. Like, where I'm like, oh, no games today. No games today.
Right.
Yeah, he's got to practice. Go to your room.
So that's the two small.
Yeah, two small screens, and it gives you a small third one in the middle. And then to add to the moment, my father, I don't know why, has decided he wants to learn to play Call of Duty. So it was all four of us the other day playing.
Need a picture or a video.
No, it's all of us. Yeah, we're all in the same room.
You don't see his car out front?
Yeah.
So they're here.
Sorry.
They're here visiting. So it was adorable,
that's
cute,
fantastic.
And also probably a parental fail. All one.
Most definitely was.
Yeah.
It does remind me that Diego and I, for the first time in probably a year and a half, played some Call of Duty yesterday for about half an hour. Had a fantastic time.
Yeah.
And he screamed the N-word so...
The N-word?
No. What? He screamed the word no.
Oh.
Very, very loud.
Oh, my God. We
now, were... that is a word that gentleman Jack can have you say.
You go, exactly. Yeah.
God.
So that was good, too. Do you have something, Doreen? Or, Luna? Sorry.
I can't think of anything.
That's all right.
I mean, I felt... Griffin was on my side and kind of validated my feelings a couple of days ago.
Is this an Auntie Paco story?
Yeah.
Does All she right. have any yeah. others?
Tell us what Diego, how he stood up for you.
Well, I used a phrase that had some meaning for and I didn't.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah. I didn't mean the same thing. I meant something else.
Mm-hmm.
And Griffin came to my rescue.
Rescue.
And it was very nice.
Okay. Try it again. Okay. Use Diego. And
ooh, I'm sorry.
I'm the drunk one.
Diego, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's been a while.
I understand. No, you used the phrase...
getting stabbed in the
getting
back.
Getting stabbed in the back to not mean betrayed.
Oh. Literal? Like,
I
were you threatening
like,
her with a knife and he came and rescued her?
No, I read something... And it hurt so much that that's how it felt.
Like a knife
pain,
in the heart.
Like a knife.
In the heart.
And your son came and said, a knife could also reach your heart from the back, Father.
Yeah, there you go. I wasn't even really on you. All I said was, you said knife in the back to describe something that to me might have been described
that's
more
That's where
clearly.
My pain was.
Yes, that's because your back hurts all the time.
That's
but not
my
in
pain
relation
was in
to
my
that
stress.
Situation. All right, whatever.
No, you guys keep going. I'm going to wrap it up here. That's been our show. Send all us right. an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. What do you put ketchup on that you shouldn't? We want to know. Also, don't forget, available on iTunes, Hollywood RX. That is Paco's.
Is that the chair I usually sit in?
Nope. That's worth interrupting me for. Couldn't wait. We're about to be done. We've been doing this for an hour and 20 fucking minutes. And you wait until Daddy's ramping up the exit, getting ready for the dismount. And you say, is that the chair I normally sit in?
I feel like I'm falling backwards.
Because it has nothing to do with the fact that you've been drinking. Sure, nothing to do with that. That I set the temperature slightly higher to make your wife a little more comfortable. It has everything to do with the fact that, you know what I decide to do in all my free fucking time? It's just to swap chairs willy-nilly. Because I just felt like, no, that chair that he normally gets in that, by the way, I purchased specifically for you, it doesn't, it fucks up my feng shui in here. So I moved it. Anyway, Hollywood RX is Paco's other podcast available on iTunes. Where I will not be interrupting him with similar bullshit.
No, you won't.
So what? She's got hit with a microphone. Wow, it's really falling off the rails. What do you guys have out there? Have you done an episode since you and I? How often do you do episodes? That's a better question.
This is terrible.
Oh, don't bring this up.
Okay. All right. Hollywood RX, available on iTunes. Everybody, check it out. They're going to be talking about movies, Oscars. Whoa!
There you go.
She and I just saw The Witch today, and I think we're gonna that's going to be discussed soon. And I did see Deadpool.
Oh, you're going to talk Deadpool on the next episode.
That's entirely possible.
So give that sucker a subscribe and make that happen. All of our social media handles are in the description of this episode. Real quick, a while ago, I talked about our friend Sticker Amigo. I don't have the copy in front of me, but I think I said Sticker Amigos. And I meant to say Sticker, or I didn't mean to say. I had the name wrong. I ought to have said, thank you, Paco, stickeramigo.com. So check that out for all of your custom sticker needs. They make vinyl stuff. They can make signs.
Oh, that's
anything
cool.
You want. If you want to put a gigantic banner, say, Luna, on the back of your fence and set it at about, I don't know, 6 inches off the ground and say, if you could still read this, it's okay. maybe put another one above. If you can't see the letters below this, mow the fucking yard. You know, something like that. Stickeramigo.com. They can do that for you.
Did you talk about that when...
Please don't vomit.
Sorry. When Natalie was here, because I don't remember hearing about this.
Oh, no, I think I did it in front of you.
Oh, sorry. Wow. No, that sounds fantastic.
I like
people
it.
Do that. I want to go look at that.
All right. Yes. So check out stickeramigo.com. Not amigos. Those guys are fuckers.
Absolutely.
On behalf of the fair Luna, Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Warsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, stay frosty, my friends.